because we are looking, we are starting a new series today. We're not done with 1 John, not close, okay? But we're taking a three-week hiatus, if you call it that. I don't know if that's right or not. You have to check me, my English teacher here, all right? I got to check out one today, so I have to focus on you. But we will be spending the next 3 weeks looking at that word Emmanuel, okay? God with us. And so this is part one, okay? See, the word God is in capital letters, so it's this week is God, we're going to focus on, and then next week is with, and then the third week is us, okay? So we're looking at that really simple, and so reading just the first verse of the song we sang earlier, O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So again, welcome to our Christmas 2023 series, Emmanuel, God with us, and today we're looking at the word God, okay? Real simple, which goes, amen, I'm sure Jimmy's about, can't wait to say amen on that, but a simple series by a simple guy, all right? Nope, not going to do it. You go, okay, that was on a platter. You could hit it out, but of the park. But we're going to look at the word God, and we're going to answer or try to answer the question, which God is being referred to here in this word, Emmanuel? All right? And we will answer this question with the following central statements. There's actually two this time, all right, because I couldn't get it to word it correctly into one. But in Emmanuel, God with us, okay, Jesus of Nazareth specifically, is the God being referred to. We can see his divinity in his names, Jesus, Christ, and Emmanuel. And all three are going to be in the text today. All right. And you'll see we're going to go through each of those names. So I hope that you receive a blessing from it. So we're going to read right in Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. And it'll be on your screen for if you're visiting. And there are Bibles around as well. It reads this way. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. And that's the next one. You can go ahead and go to that, Miss Rhonda. The verse that I just read, this little is verse 23. Okay, speaking to that prophecy there in Isaiah, that was actually a prophesied son, a sign to Judah's King Ahaz at the time, and it was that there was an impending military crisis that would be averted by God. Okay, the prophecy received an immediate fulfillment in Isaiah's own son. You can see that in Isaiah 8:1-4. It's not going to be on the screen, but if you're interested, you want to look at it. Isaiah 8:1-4, and then that son was a sign of a greater fulfillment. You see that in Isaiah 8:18. And then the prophecy thus continued to present the ultimate manifestation of God is with us in Isaiah 9:1-7. We're going to read that in a few moments, okay? So let's go ahead and look at that first name that we're looking at here as far as answering that question. Who is the God that we're referring to? Jesus. Simply Jesus. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him, what is it? Jesus. All right? Because he will save his people from their sins. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 31, it says, now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and again, you will name him, who? Jesus. The name Jesus means simply, Yahweh, or the Lord saves. Okay, that's what it means. And it describes what Jesus does. What does he do? He saves. He's in the saving business, right, Mr. Tommy? I bet you can testify to that right now. He's in the saving business. The name Jesus simply means Savior. It means Savior. And it comes from the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. All right, we're talking about salvation here. And then let's look at Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Okay, and I love this passage, which says, "Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land of the east of the Jordan and the Galilee of the nations." The people, listen to this part here. I know you've a lot of you have heard this before, but it's still wonderful, wonderful news here. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." Can anybody testify that was you? That you were in darkness at one time, but you've seen a great light. You know, whether that darkness was that particular maybe sin in your life was drugs or alcohol or some other thing that you may have been chasing. We were all at one time that regardless of the nature of our sin, you know, we have all sinned and we were in darkness. Amen. Like Sally and I, have different testimonies. You know, and while mine's not drastic, I wasn't saved from, drugs or a life of crime or anything like that, arguably speaking. Okay, I may have sped a little bit too much. But anyway, but there was a time in my life when I was involved in alcohol and could have easily gone in that route, especially based on some family history. All right. But God got my attention. I was in the bathroom of a club, and God got my attention. You know, I can remember that. And but then Sally was like, she didn't have that drastic thing. She went to church all her life, but she also had to make a decision to realize that what Jesus did on the cross counted for her, and she had to make that decision, right? And so back to the passage here. All right, go down a little dirt road there. All right, but back to verse 3. "You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils." Verse 4, "For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor." Again, can you relate? You take the heaviness that we had. We don't have to care that anymore because of a Savior, Jesus. All right? "Just as you did on the day of Midian." Verse 5, "For every trampling boot of battle and the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. And this one, for a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. "The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." All right, and so he is our Savior. When you look at the name Jesus again, it's what he does. He's our Savior. He saves us. Let me read a few New Testament passages that will highlight this. Acts 4, verse 12, right? "There is salvation," right? "By the time there is salvation in who? Nobody else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given the people by which we must be saved except Jesus Christ." Okay? Romans 10, 9, "If you confess with your mouth," who? "Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I hope you're hearing the theme here. John 3:16, all right, verse and 17. "For God loved the world in this way," all right, just like Miss Ann Wilson sang in that song. All right, he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through him." Okay. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, in her Magnificat, when she praised God. And it's a beautiful song, and I encourage you to check it out. But we're not going to read all of it, but verses 46 and 47 in Luke chapter 1. It says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In God my Savior. And then a few verses after this, and I think we let this last year, but a few verses after that, in the same chapter, verses 68 through 79, here about Zechariah. We'll learn about Zechariah. "Blessed is the Lord." This is him saying, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people." See, redemption. He's provided salvation, redemption. "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. He has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from the hand of our enemies, to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, talking about John, to give his people knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen. Amen there. The question is, do you think you need saving? That's it, right? So the question simply is, do you think you need it? Because, see, it can't save people who don't want saving. Right, you got to come to the point where you realize you need it, you know, that you can't make it on your own, and if so, saving from what, you know. And I know this is maybe like, ooh, you know, dark, but it's the truth, you know, because maybe you don't realize the depravity of your situation and your condition. All right, and so I want to be clear with that before we move on to the next name we're going to look at for Jesus of Nazareth. It says, but basically we're all full of sin. I kind of alluded to that earlier. All right. We've all messed up, and more than just messed up, we've all sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all. Okay? Real simple. All means all. And that sin gets us where? A reservation. Okay? Gets us a reservation in hell. And, you know, I think of like the, you know, how this weekend my niece and is on a little senior trip. They had in New York City, they had all these reservations at these different places, but they had to reserve a spot, right? And so it's reserved. Revelation 20:15 says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, they will pay the penalty of eternal destruction from the Lord's presence from his glorious strength. So we're talking about sad news right there, but also one of my favorite verses in the Bible addresses this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what we have earned is separation from God. Right? What we get because of Jesus Christ is the gift of eternal life. Amen. And so thank God we have a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God we have a Savior. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, which literally means Savior. All right. So let's go now to the second one. As we see the central statement there, and we had it in a few moments. We have Christ. We have the word Christ. Matthew, it's not up there, Miss Rhonda, but Matthew 1:18 from the same passage earlier said the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay. In the ESV in Matthew 16:16, it says, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. John 11:27 says, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. All right? And we're going to look at some of that again in a few moments. But it's an interesting thing is that there are actually many Jewish boys with the name Joshua, okay, or the Greek Jesus, whenever Jesus Christ was on this earth. But Mary's boy was called Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Christ. What's significant about that? Right? And some of y'all may already have beat me to the punch. You know this because you know your words. You've been going to church for a long time. The word Christ means anointed. The word Christ means anointed. It's the Greek equivalent of Messiah. Okay, he is Jesus the Messiah. So Jesus of Nazareth, to be clear, is the Christ or Messiah. Synonyms that highlight his status as a divinely appointed Savior King who is worthy. Amen. Jesus the Anointed, in other words. Right. So one problem is that the Israelites viewed this designation very differently. Okay. They awaited a king who would rescue them from physical oppression. You know, all this tormenting we've received for all these years. Oh yeah, he's going to rescue us from that, and we're going to have relief from that. Right. That's what they were looking forward to. In fact, Jesus actually avoided that designation quite often because it had developed misleading connotations, you know, and so he kind of avoided that, right, at times. And while his contemporaries looked for a king who would exercise military, political control, from Jerusalem, Jesus taught that his kingdom would not be defined by political boundaries, but would embrace people from every nation. Amen. And so his followers believed that after his resurrection and ascension, Jesus was seated as king at God's right hand in heaven, from where they expected him to return in the future to judge all humanity. So in recognition of his divinely given royal authority, every person under a genuine obligation to acknowledge personally that Jesus is Lord. John 20:31, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Okay? Life. And again, if you're seeing similar things, all three synoptic gospels, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, contains the account of Peter, Right? And we love Peter. We did last week, man. He like cutting off the ear, you know. So we man, old Peter. All right, but here what he says in Matthew 16 verses 13 through 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And I have to pause there, and I could, you know, I could skip to the invitation, the conclusion, and ask that very question. Some of y'all are like, "Hey, go ahead and do that, Pastor. We can get out early." All right, y'all owed me a few minutes from last week, right? Amen. Okay, amen. All right. But it says, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Okay. They replied, well, actually, that's not the question. There's another question even better than that coming. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others, Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And then, but you, he asked them, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, okay? The Messiah, the anointed one." And then also, whenever we have Martha and her brother Lazarus had died, in John chapter 11, 25 to 27, it says this: Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord." She told him, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." Jesus is the anointed one. Amen. Jesus is King. Jesus of Nazareth. As I alluded to earlier, his kingdom was different than what the expectations were at that time. In fact, when Jesus was being questioned by Pilate, okay, right before being crucified, you know, he having a conversation with Pilate. Pilate's not really understanding what's going on. He's like, you know, "Who is this guy?" You know, and he, John 18, verse 36 says, "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. And of course, if I'm Pilate, I'm like, "I still don't understand." What do you mean by that, right? And he says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Okay? You don't know about it, but I have one. I have one. It's going to be a whole lot bigger than yours ever was, okay? And so Jesus, again, did not come to establish his rule through military power, but by giving his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world. Amen? It's a simple message this morning, yes. He challenged his hearers to embrace his teaching of love towards enemies, you know, which was strange back then. Even when the people greeted him as the Son of David, as he entered Jerusalem, what was he riding on a horse? He wasn't riding on a horse. He didn't come in all triumphantly on a horse. You know, I said, "Oh, he come on a donkey, right? Come on a donkey." Again, the question, just like we asked earlier, do you need a savior? Like, you know, you have to, you know, recognize you need one. The question is, do you need a king? Do you need a king? You know, and most people will say, "Oh no, I'm just fine, living life the way I am. Okay, I'm just fine." Okay, what was the old poet who says, "I'm the captain of my soul, the master of my fate. You know, I can keep doing it my way." Right? Was it Frank Sinatra that sang that? Right? My way, or is that somebody? Yeah, I think it was. All right. Just enjoy. People enjoy being in control. But like you heard me preach many times before, I believe pride is one of the things that have sent more people away from heaven and to hell. Pride. Okay. You may think you're in control, but you answer to something. You answer to something. It could be a boss, could be a paycheck, it could be the pleasure. You like to just go party and do whatever. It could be something, but you answer to something. Okay, something that ultimately will be in control of your life. So thank God that we have a king. Amen. All right, we have an anointed one. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which literally means Messiah, anointed one. And so in Emmanuel, God with us, okay, we see that Jesus of Nazareth is the God that's being referred to. We can see his divinity in his names, Jesus Christ and Emmanuel. And I go ahead and tell Miss Denise, my English teacher, that this is definitely an uneven paragraph, okay? It's because I'm going to be spending the next 2 weeks talking about it. So, all right, so it's going to get longer then, okay? So don't take points off, all right? But I do want to briefly hit on just the highlights of the word Emmanuel. And so Jesus is his human name, right? His human name means salvation. Christ is his official title, the anointed one that we're going to worship for all eternity. And Emmanuel describes who he is. He's God with us. He's God with us. Listen to the book of John, chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, as he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us," right? the Word, talking about the Word, and the Word was synonymous with Jesus Christ and became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from this fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came to Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God, is at the right Father's side. He has revealed him." See, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The name Emmanuel points to the prevalent biblical theme of God's presence with his people. God's presence with his people. When you think about any times in your life, you know, that were, you know, really, really tough times where maybe you have lost somebody that you love dearly, you know, just somebody being there was good enough, right? Just somebody being there. You don't have to say a word. I've talked to people who have been in that situation, you know, as far as what do I say, Patrick? You don't have to say anything. Just be there. You know, there's something about presence. Being in the presence of that's encouraging. And so when you think about this idea, all right, that's encouraging to me. The word Emmanuel points to this idea of presence, God's presence with his people. The idea of God with us is the embodiment of all of God's promises to Israel and to all who will trust in him. See, through sacrifice and mercy, God makes a way to be with his people. Whether Israel in the Old Testament or the church in the New Testament, all leading up to God's final act in Revelation 21, right? Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them, and will be their God. See, Jesus of Nazareth is the ultimate fulfillment of this thing, both in his identification with humanity and becoming a man and by his death on the cross for our sins. In this sense, the word Emmanuel truly embodies the meaning of Christmas. You know, it's funny. You know, I love Christmas. I love the movies. I love all that. Right? You know, come on, who doesn't love a little National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? I mean, come on, man. You know, come on. Bingo. Anyway, sorry, I can't. Sorry. All right. But you know, an Elf and It's a Wonderful Life and all those, but. Truly, this idea of Emmanuel, God with us, that's the meaning of Christmas, right? When you think about it. The birth of Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, the Savior of all men, has made a way for God to be with us. God became flesh, right, and dwelt among us, right, Brother Tommy? He became flesh, right, and came and did what we are incapable of doing on our own. See, he left his throne in heaven, and we're going to refer to that again the next 2 weeks, you know, from time to time. But it's an amazing thought that you know, God would say, okay, you want to send Jesus down to earth, all right, to be with us, like literally in the flesh, and then he's always with us, all right? But do you need God to be with you? That's the question. Just like, you know, you have to recognize that you're in need of a Savior, all right, that you need a king. And then, do you need a God to be with you? I believe the answer to that question is an easy yes. A lot of people light for God, though, and we're going to refer to this, I think it might be in 2 weeks, but I'll go ahead and give you a kind of an appetizer. But a lot of times it feels like people want God to be close to them. They want him to be nearby, right, in the vicinity, right, Ms. Jan, in the area, right, but not too close. Not too close. I don't want them to wreck my life. Well, that's exactly what you need. You need is for them to wreck your life. Amen. And so, thank God. I just thank God that we have a God who is with us. Amen. This is Jesus of Nazareth. His name is Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. And so, again, it was a simple one today, and I'm actually at my conclusion already. I told you I could get you some time back, right, from last week. I went about 5 or 6, 7 minutes over last week. All right, but here's the deal. If you miss the fact, as we come to a close here, that Jesus of Nazareth is the God that is with us, that He is our Savior, right, Jesus, that he is as Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah that was promised, who came to earth, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, the one that was sent to this place to live a life that we could not live and to die a death that we should have died in our place, so that we may have our sins forgiven and a home in heaven. You have missed the point of Christmas. You have missed it, okay? And so don't miss it. Jeremiah 33, verse 16. I want to give you one extra name for kind of extra credit here, Ms. Denise. All right? Give me the bonus points for back on this so I can get a better grade. But I want to give you one more word that I think will close it out really well. Jeremiah 33, verse 16. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is what she will be named. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. The verse tells us when we see him in the kingdom, his name will be the Lord is our righteousness. The actual word there, if you want to know, is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Okay, Tsidkenu. Okay, that's the little name there. Okay, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and that title means the Lord is our righteousness. See, when you see Jesus, right? When it's when your time on earth is over with, all right, we won't be sitting in front of Jesus telling him all the great things we did. Okay, all right, it's not gonna happen. Oh, well, I accomplished. Let me tell you about what I did, Miss Jan. Oh, I was a pastor for a couple of years. I did a couple of things. Went to camp, you know, led a few people to Christ, you know, whatever. No. That's not going to happen, right, brother? Okay. So when you see Jesus, we may not necessarily at first call him Jesus or Christ or Emmanuel, all right? But you might call him Jesus, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And this is an awesome thing. And I love the way Mr. Corson, this is a theologian, says it this way. And I can't say any better than him, so I want to give him credit. All right, it says, when I see Jesus, I'm not going to say, Jesus, here I am. Aren't I wonderful? Right, Coach? I'm a wonderful guy. Look how great I am. People love me. All right? No, I'm going to say, Jehovah Tsidkenu, you are my righteousness. It's not me. I have failed miserably. Anybody say amen to that? I have failed miserably. I continue to fail miserably. I'm going to fail miserably today. Okay? I botch it constantly. He goes on to say, you are my righteousness. It's your blood that allows me to embrace you and sit beside you. I fall at your feet and worship you because you are my righteousness. Jesus is his human name, he said. Christ, his official name. Emmanuel, his descriptive name. And Jehovah Tsidkenu, his prophetic name. I just love those words there. So is Jesus of Nazareth your righteousness today? Because if he's not, you need to come to the point. I can say it more clear now. You have to come to a point where you recognize that what Jesus Christ did on the cross all those years ago counts for you. That you can't make it. There's nothing good in us. We're sinful human beings, but God made a way. Amen. He made a way by sending his son Jesus to die in our place. And it's a matter of saying, God, I trust that what you did on the cross counts for me, and I want to live my life for you. Amen. So I encourage you to make the decision today. Thank you for your help, Ms. Jan and Ms. Sally, as you come lead us.